Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we intentionally stop to reflect upon the lessons that are appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, as you meditate and ponder it in your heart, that it would speak to you and you would allow the Spirit to come into you, that God's word would come alive to you in this day and speak to you again anew. I pray that this time will be beneficial for you in your walk with Christ. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy, and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our gospel reading for the Sunday after Easter is from the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. Now, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nail of his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Every year, the Sunday after Easter, we have the same text that's appointed for the Gospel reading. The story that most people refer to as Doubting Thomas. We hear the story where Jesus appears to the 10 in this upper room where the doors were locked. They see and believe, but Thomas, for whatever reason, is not with them. And even though they tell Thomas what they have seen, Thomas is unsure. And so, therefore, he gets labeled as Doubting Thomas. I think this is not a great name for him, because we tend to use it in a negative light. Doubting Thomas. How could he doubt? How could he not just simply believe? But the reality is, most of us are like Thomas. Most of us have doubts. Most of us have questions. I know when I was a new pastor, the first church I served, one of the things that I was called to do there was to go door to door in the community and greet people and invite them to be a part of the church and talk about faith. And so I would go and knock on doors and share with people who I was and about Jesus and the gospel. And I can remember one afternoon, I went and knocked on the door of this house about 3 or 4 blocks from the church. And this lady came and answered the door, and I told her who I was, and I had my brochure in hand and my whole spiel. And she started to say, "I have some questions. I'm not sure about certain things." And so I engaged her with conversation, and she began to tell me the story. Her brother had committed suicide, and she was in a relationship she wasn't sure about, and she had all of this stuff, and all of it was impacting her ability to be able to believe that God is good. And so we talked about it because she felt like she shouldn't have these questions. She needed to just believe, and that would be sufficient. Because we hear stories like this, and in some ways we cast this negative light. How could Thomas have asked for this proof? But the reality, in some ways, is Thomas wasn't asking for anything that the other disciples already had. It's okay to, when we hear something, to have questions and uncertainty about it, and to cry out and ask for God to be there. And the reality is, when we really look at the story carefully, what we see is a loving God who comes to us amid the doubts and uncertainty. Thomas hears the story from the other 10. And he says, "I need to do this also. You saw it. I need to see it." Because think about it. They were there. They saw Jesus get arrested. They scattered because they were afraid. They saw the power of Rome as they whipped Jesus, as they beat him, as they mocked him. They saw the crowds cheer, "Crucify him." They saw Jesus on the cross, struggling for breath, bleeding, dying. They probably saw him breathe his last, saw him being taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb. And in many ways, that should have been the end of the story. Because after all, how many people have been raised from the dead? None. Lazarus, I guess, one. This was something new. This was something that they didn't expect. Even though Jesus had told them what was going to happen, they couldn't completely comprehend it. When Jesus came that first night, the night of the resurrection, and he was there with the 10, he showed them his hands and his side. They saw the reality that it was Jesus who had been crucified, who still had the marks in his hands, the wound in his side where they stuck the spear. And they believed because they saw. Thomas had questions. And notice what happens. A week later, Jesus comes and they're gathered again in this same space. And Jesus appears, and again he comes and he utters a word to them. "Peace be with you." Notice what he does. Jesus came and stood among them, said, "Peace." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Put your hand in my side." Notice he doesn't castigate Thomas for having questions, but comes and says, "Here, let me show you. Let me be with you. Let me walk with you in your questions. Here, let me show you what you need." And interesting, if we take the text exactly the way it's written, it doesn't say he actually did it. Seeing was enough. The same thing the other disciples had done. And he responded, "My Lord and my God." right? He saw that Jesus was with him amid the questions and the doubts, amid everything. It wasn't here, you got to believe or, you know, go away. But he came and appeared to him. And I think in our world today, as we hear this story, as we think about, well, what does this say to us? I don't know about you, but sometimes I have questions. I wonder why God doesn't intervene more. Why isn't at times I can't feel the presence of Jesus like I do at others? We have those sometimes lingering doubts, those questions. And we have them because we're not God. But what we do have is God's word that says to us, where Jesus proclaims, I am with you always. Even when we're unsure, Jesus is with us. Part of it is for us to be able to open ourselves up, to see where God is at work, to see how even amid the uncertainty of this world, the chaos that's going on, when you turn on the news or read a newspaper or magazine and see the violence, the wars in places like the Middle East and Ukraine, it's easy to wonder. But what this text tells us is that even amidst our doubts and uncertainty, God is always there and never gives up with on us. Notice it wasn't the next day. It was a week later. Thomas still had these lingering questions. But at some point, God showed up. Jesus was there and said, here, see. In our life, if we continue to seek to walk by faith and trust that even amidst our questions and our doubts, even when we're unsure about how we should feel about all kinds of issues in our world, this story tells us Jesus will be there amidst all those questions. And he comes to us to give us peace. We don't always have answers, but we trust that Jesus is with us always. One of my favorite prayers in our hymnal says, Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us courage to go out, not always knowing where we go, but trusting that your hand is leading us and guiding us. You could substitute those paths, those ventures, which we don't know the endings, sometimes the questions that we have. But what we do is we trust that Jesus is leading us and guiding us. Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us on. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we live in a world of uncertainty and questions, a world filled with turmoil and chaos, and sometimes it's easy to doubt and to have questions. Be with us and strengthen us. Help us to see your presence amid these questions. Help us to see that you are always there, even when we are unsure. Help us to trust in your word, where you said you would be with us always, even to the end of the age, and where you promised to send another, an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to walk alongside of us. As we continue through the Easter season, as we proclaim the hope of the resurrection and knowing that the tomb is empty. May we always trust in you, that you overcome everything. You overcame sin, death, and the devil. And you overcome our questions and our doubts to give to us forgiveness, grace, and mercy. We pray all this in your holy name. Amen. And now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.